Live from Universal Studios Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome your host, Terry Lee Torok.
Woo! Yeah! You ready? Woo! Thank you. I don't get this at home. Welcome to Universal Studios Hollywood. This is the playing field of the future. The unprecedented 1990 Nintendo World Championships. For us, it was a year that began back March 7th, 1990. The date. That was the day when 11 semi-truck trailers unleashed the Nintendo Power Fest upon Dallas, Texas. An incredible moment at that. Traveling coast to coast across the country, from Seattle to Miami, New York to Los Angeles. Searching for the best in the business, the top guns of Nintendo. The players you are about to meet today, ladies and gentlemen, are truly the best in the business. They have outsmarted, outscored, and outmaneuvered hundreds of thousands of the top competitors in their field. Well, today I've had the honor to hand all 90 winners their trophy. And today, you're going to see all 90 city champions battling the best. With the magic of the mind in 6 minutes, 21 seconds of intense action. And when that smoke clears, 3 world champions will stand tall as the best in the world.
You're back here on the N-Express podcast, and joining us is a very special guest, Mr. Jeff Hansen. And if you do not know who Jeff is, well, I'm about to tell you. Jeff is one of the 3 original winners of the original Nintendo World Championship back in 1990. And Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong here, but you were the winner of the 11 under category.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, so this is pretty amazing because I was actually Googling the 1990 Nintendo World Championship and I couldn't really find much coverage of the event. There was like one YouTube video. I was hoping to find some sort of like newspaper article, any kind of info that I can dig up because I wrote an article, a piece about the actual Nintendo World Championship. So I tried to contact all 3 winners and unfortunately I didn't have luck with the other 2, but you were nice enough to contact us and you told us you can come on the show and we can pick your brain and you can fill us in on what it was like back in 1990. The current championship is sort of underwhelming. They had the qualifying rounds last week, and one of our writers over at Sound Insight actually headed to the qualifying round in Maple Grove, Minnesota, and it was just underwhelming. It didn't even feel like there was a tournament happening over at Best Buy. So what was it like in 1990? Like, for starters, just entering the competition, like, how was that like?
Well, I mean, I do have to preface this. I was 10 years old, so, and I ate, lived, and breathed Nintendo, so it was amazing. They filled the whole Salt Palace. It's, you know, a huge convention center in Salt Lake City. They had banners up, all these consoles, all these TVs with these Nintendos hooked up, and the best part, I mean, and the original reason why I even went at all was to play the games before they came out. Because I saw a commercial that said that that's what was going to be happening. I don't remember the exact games, but, you know, I went there, and there were just tons of people there, tons of kids. It was tons of fun, and I just happened to find out that they had this competition going on at the same time, and I thought I'd try my hand at it, and I somehow ended up qualifying, to get to the finalists a couple of days later just for Salt Lake City, and I got 3rd place. But I mean, it was awesome. They had an announcer. I don't know if they had lasers like at all the different 30 cities, but you know, at the final event, it was pretty spectacular. The lights and sound and show that they put on for the actual event.
Okay, so Salt Lake City was the qualifying round, and you came in 3rd place.
Yeah, I got 3rd place in Salt Lake City in 11 and under. So I won a pair of Reebok pumps.
Okay.
And a Game Boy.
I used to have Reebok pumps. That's awesome. And a Game Boy. See, that's an amazing prize right away. And that's only for the qualifying rounds.
Yeah. So I got, you know, that came with Tetris. And I wasn't really an expert at Tetris at all up until that point. So I played a whole bunch of Tetris the following couple of months, not necessarily to practice, but I played it so much that my parents thought, you know, hey, we ought to try our hand at this again. Mm-hmm. And we made it just in time for the very last city on the tour in Tampa. So we flew down to Tampa, which is where I won the qualifying round in order to go to the finals, which were the very next week.
Ah, okay. So you entered a competition technically twice.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, in two different cities.
There's two qualifying rounds?
No, no, no. So he entered in Salt Lake City, came in third place. They only take the first place winners of each city.
Oh, okay, 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 okay.
And so he went to Tampa Bay and then won in Tampa Bay.
Okay. Yeah, just Tampa. But yeah, it...
Tampa.
Yeah, so it didn't matter how many times you entered. So you could play as many times as you wanted. And you could... There were people that would go to each city, you know, to try their hand again. So the pressure was especially high, you know, in Tampa, because that was the very last city. And so there were a bunch of people who hadn't, you know, had a chance to qualify in one of the cities. And so there were a lot more people there that were trying to win a city. Hmm. And so luckily I won that one.
Okay, so now when you actually competed, was it Dr. Mario, Rad Racer, and Super Mario?
No, it was a completely different cartridge. It was the Nintendo World Championship 1990 cartridge.
Right.
And it was Super Mario Brothers. You get 50 coins in that. Then it bumps you over to Rad Racer, where you play a couple of laps. And then you play Tetris for the rest of the time for 6 minutes, 21 seconds. So it's the same time limit. And Super Mario Brothers is pretty much exactly the same. But, yeah, the last two were different. Totally different.
So did you walk away with a cartridge?
Yeah, I mean, all of the finalists, you know, we went to dinner, like, before the finals, the night before, and we were kind of petitioning Nintendo to, you know, we were asking them what they were going to do with those cartridges. I mean, they're probably just going to throw them away. So we were like, hey, why don't you just give those to us, and so we can keep them as a keepsake. And so all the finalists ended up getting one. I mean, some of them got, I know there were a few gold ones, but I've never actually seen one of those.
Did you still keep your cartridge?
Yeah, I have a cartridge.
Okay.
It still works.
Nice.
That's amazing. Well, the gold one was given by Nintendo Power to readers.
Yeah.
So you have the gray one, correct?
Yeah, I have a gray one.
Oh, that's amazing. So you won, when you won in Tampa, you won a pair of Reebok pumps and a Tetris.
I think actually I had it the other way. So the pumps, you won by winning a city.
Okay.
I believe. And then the Game Boy, I think it was like second through seventh place. All those people got Game Boys at each of the cities. So they gave away a ton of Game Boys.
It's a lot of Game Boys.
Okay, we just had Patrick Murphy, who's one of our writers on the podcast. I think it was last week.
Yeah.
And so he went to Best Buy last week to enter the competition, and they gave him like stickers.
Yeah.
like no joke. That's all.
Well, what place did he get?
Well, he didn't, but even like from my understanding is even, well, I mean, maybe we don't know. Maybe they're just not saying, but I was just told that they didn't even give out a prize. It was just
I have no idea. I mean, I can tell, they haven't announced what they're going to give to the champion at the final competition. So
yeah, I know.
I'm not sure.
It's really, I don't know. I still find it shocking, like how messed up this world championship is this year, when you compare it to like other esports that's going on presently.
Unfortunately, they didn't come to Salt Lake City, so they kind of did the same thing in '94 for the Power Fest then.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't. I was going to go and play, but we missed it because they didn't come to Salt Lake City.
Someone told me that you and the person who won first place in the 18+ and the person who won first place in the teen category all competed later on in Tetris. Is this true?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't just Tetris. It was the actual cartridge, the championship cartridge. So we did play afterwards. And Thor was the 12-17. He won that. I got second there. I think... You know, it was like my score is like 2.7 million and Thor's was 2.8. He was, in general, you know, he was definitely better than I was. He would consistently get higher scores. So and then Rob came in third.
Yeah. And he went on to become the world record holder for Tetris. I mean, he was even featured in a documentary recently. And then Robert Whiteman was the winner of the 18+ category. So do you keep in touch with either Thor or Robert?
No, I unfortunately haven't at all.
Okay. Okay, so big event, lights, stage. Like, how many thousands of people do you think were present at the actual finals?
You know, that's the funny thing is I think in the original championship, it was the Star Trek Theater in Hollywood Universal Studios Hollywood, which is not a very big theater.
Mm-hmm.
I would say there were maybe 500 people, so it wasn't a huge audience, but they sure put on a cool show. I mean, smoke and
big
lasers,
and
they had a guy from MTV, one of the guys that did the music on MTV. He was the person in charge of the music.
Okay. So yeah, okay. So was this sort of like what we see in The Wizard, the movie?
I just watched The Wizard a few weeks ago, and I think it was actually cooler than The Wizard.
Oh really?
I mean, of course I was there, so it's a little bit different.
Yeah,
to me,
it's hard to see the stage.
Yeah, I mean we have some video. I have home videos, and we have a bunch of. You should have asked me earlier. I have tons of. Resources that I can share with you.
Okay, so we normally ask our guests five questions, and normally we do it at the start of the segment, but I'm going to do it now. So question number one, what is your favorite video game of all time?
So I was preparing for this. I think it's it's been Metroid Prime 3 for quite a while. I think just the whole Metroid Prime series is probably the best series ever.
Yeah, and I'm hoping for a Metroid announcement this year at E3, because next year is the 30-year anniversary of Metroid, so I think we're going to get it. And
yeah, I can't wait for it, because Other M was it was kind of a downer to me. So
yeah, for most
excited
people.
For something
yeah, for,
more
for
like
a lot Metroid. Of for a lot of people it was, yeah.
So growing up, were you a Nintendo kid, a Sega kid? Did you just like play with every console you can get your hands on? Because I remember when I was younger, there was always like a war between my friends and I over who liked Sega. And Nintendo, and eventually it was Sony that came into the picture.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been loyal to Nintendo. I always called it the Sega Genesis. We called it the Sucka Genesucks.
No.
Lame, but yeah, I mean, definitely loyal to Nintendo. I never got an Xbox. I did eventually get a PS2, but that was just for DDR. So I am an addict to DDR as well. And I, in fact, so much that I made my own pad, because they keep breaking.
Oh, really?
I made one out of wood and plexiglass and everything.
Oh, that's cool.
So what is your favorite console of all time?
I mean, probably just based on the hours I put in. I mean, I would say the GameCube, and probably Super Smash Brothers on there. Hmm. I mean, in college, that kind of we would burn the midnight oil every night playing that.
Yeah, I think GameCube is winning, because every time we ask a guest what their favorite console is, it's either GameCube or Super NES, but most people say GameCube so far. I think it's the best console. I don't know if it's my favorite, but I think it's the best. Okay, and so I'm assuming you still play video games?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, when I was practicing to go to Japan and everything to play against the Japanese champion, I was playing like up to 8 hours a day, and my mom would, you know, make me play 8 hours a day.
Okay.
And that's okay, but
I
play sometimes. I play with my kids, especially when a new game comes out. You know, when the last Zelda came out, you know, that's pretty much all I did for a few weeks, and a lot of times, you know, my kids would watch me play. It's fun.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you, what's your method of preparation like for a tournament?
I mean, back then I would print out spreadsheets and. Mm-hmm. Just pages and pages of attempts, and I would just write down my score every single. I write down the time that it took to get through everything, and then my final score. And eventually, I got so I could just, you know, nail it every single time.
Yeah. Have you entered any other tournaments after the Nintendo World Championships? Actually.
No. In 92, I don't know if you know this, but I went to Japan and I played against the Japanese champion.
Mm-hmm.
And I won against him. And then he hadn't really had much time to play the game. Like, I had the cartridge for several weeks before we played against each other, and he hadn't played it at all. So that kind of wasn't really fair in 92. But so we had a rematch in 93. Okay. But I won again then. But yeah, since then, so Nintendo took me around to promote their games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I promoted NCAA basketball. I would go to a bunch of different malls back east, and I'd play against famous college basketball stars. Like, I played against Rasheed Wallace.
Huh.
He came in with a controller around his neck. He was all prepped up to beat me. But
yeah.
I toured the country. They took me on an Amtrak train to play the first Zelda for Game Boy, and a bunch of other things. Star Fox. They had an event where they flew in one of the senators for Utah, Jake Garn, came in, and he skydove into the event. And that's where they announced Star Fox. So I was there for that.
Oh, wow.
Too. But yeah, other than that, no other competitions. There was like a little, they had like a little celebrity competition at the 94 Power Fest.
Mm-hmm.
And I participated in that, and I won that, and was able to donate the winner of that donated a Nintendo Fun Center to a hospital.
Okay.
So I donated that to Primary Children's here in Utah.
That's cool.
That's amazing. And just to play video games with basketball stars, like I'm actually watching a basketball game in the background. Well, I had to turn it off. As we speak, I'm a huge fan of basketball. That's just like, so your kids must be like amazed. Like if they play video games and love Nintendo, I mean, it must be amazing to tell your friends that, hey, my dad won the Nintendo World Championships back in 1990, especially now that they are bringing it back 25 years later.
Yeah, and that's the funny thing too, is like, you know, this is the 25th anniversary. My daughter's 10 years old, so she's the same age that I was when I won. So it's kind of fun.
Have they ever talked about like attempting like you did to play competitively in video games?
No.
Are you trying not to encourage it, or?
No, it's, you know, if they're interested in it, we'll definitely support anything that they're interested in. But they haven't shown any interest in competitively playing.
Did you meet any famous like game developers or like, you know, the video game designers from Nintendo?
Yeah, so when I went to Japan, after the competition, they bullet trained us down to Kyoto, which is the Nintendo World headquarters, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to meet Shigeru Miyamoto.
Oh, that's cool.
He showed me his cubicle and showed me, you know, a bunch of his work that he was working on, just real vague, just real quick. But and then I also, we went in with him and then Koji Kondo. And Koji Kondo played a few songs, you know, Mario songs, from Super Mario World.
Oh.
And so that was pretty awesome.
You must have been freaking out though. I don't know how I would react if I saw Shigeru Miyamoto.
Was this when you were 10?
This was when I was 12.
12.
Yeah.
Nice. So a little bit older.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, you know, I still didn't know all that was going on. Mm-hmm. I was pretty young, but I mean, in my world, it was pretty much the ultimate thing that could ever happen.
Yeah, like I couldn't just imagine. I mean, a 10, 12-year-old, and you love Nintendo so much, and all of a sudden you're like just put into the world of Nintendo. I mean, it's got to be an amazing experience.
I can't even imagine what it would be like to go to Japan and to like the Nintendo headquarters.
Yeah.
That would be incredible. So, had the competition this year been somewhere nearby, would you have entered?
I might have. I just don't have as much time as I used to, unfortunately. Right. I have five kids and and a wife, and I don't know. It's unfortunately not at the top of my priorities, but I do love to play still. It's still, you know, I'm definitely a loyal Nintendo fan, and I love to play when the new ones come out. I go get them.
Do you follow any of the tournaments that happens in anywhere in the video game world?
Like, I mean, other than Nintendo ones, or?
Well, yeah, other than Nintendo. Like, I'm just curious, like, to know, like, if you still follow, like, maybe esports or something.
No, not really.
Oh, okay.
So you currently have a Wii U, I assume, and a 3DS.
I do have a Wii U. I haven't picked up a 3DS yet. My brother keeps telling me I really need to get one, and I'm this close, but I haven't done it yet.
Okay. You see, because the thing is, this year, they're using a 3DS for the competitions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. All right, is there any crazy stories you can maybe share with our listeners and us before we head off? I'm just trying to picture you, a 10-year-old, at a dinner negotiating with Nintendo and being like, hey, why don't you give us the cartridge? It's just like, that's hilarious.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. I mean, there are just so many fun experiences with Nintendo. They drove us around in limos, you know, half a dozen times. It was like, I mean, I was a superstar for a few years. It was really surreal. Mm-hmm. The restaurants that they took us to, you know, in Japan especially. I mean, some of the places we went to were just amazing, and you know, very expensive. And after the trip to Kyoto, we asked Nintendo if we could stay a few more days, and so we stayed in Tokyo. And I just really grew to love the Japanese people, and you know, so much that I wanted to go back. I was like bawling when I came home from Japan after the competition, because I wanted to stay there.
Yeah.
So somehow, you know, I was able to actually I served as an LDS missionary when I turned 19. I was actually able to go back to the Tokyo North Mission and serve as a missionary for a couple of years.
So, well, thank you so much. I don't really, because it's weird, because I do not know what to ask, because, you know, I wasn't at the championships. I have no idea what it's like. Like, I'm trying to envision it in my head. Mm. And it's just, I'm so glad that you've told us that it was even better than what we saw in the movie, like The Wizard. Because, I mean, The Wizard came out before the Nintendo World Championships, and it was somewhat of an inspiration for Nintendo to do this. I'm actually surprised they never continued the Nintendo World Championship. So it's amazing to bring it back like 25 years later.
Yeah, I know that it was very expensive. I mean, they sunk a lot of money into it. And so I just wonder if, you know, they figured it didn't eventually get dividends from it. But I think it's a ton of fun. I mean, it's a great way to get together and with other people that like Nintendo and just have a fun time.
Right. And so how long was Nintendo sort of, you know, spoiling you with these riches? Like, was it for the 2 years up until you were 12? Was it like later on? Because, I mean, you won in 10, and you're telling me that you won the tournament in Japan when you were 12. Did Nintendo invite you, or did you just enter?
No, so they called us up in September of 92, about a month before we were going to go, and they said, you know, do you want to play against the Japanese champion? And we're like, yeah, that would be awesome. So we just started getting ready to go to Japan after they had asked us. I think they wanted, you know, because the Super Mario Club in Japan is geared more towards younger kids. Mm-hmm. And so I think they wanted somebody that was a little bit younger, that would be more the same age as all of their viewers over there.
All right.
I don't know if you've looked up, but you can look up on YouTube Super Mario Club in Japan. And they, I don't know when the last time they did competitions, but they actually had several competitions, not just this one in 92.
Okay. Yeah. And so, is it true that you also appeared on talk shows like MTV and?
Yeah, so I did go on the Home Show, and I met Lynn Swan on there, and I also, in CES one time they had Sugar Ray Leonard come. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to go on the Late Show with David Letterman, and they said it was because I was bumped by Chuck Heston. So.
Oh wow.
He was probably a lot more. fun to talk to. I don't know. At 10, it was like pulling teeth to get me to say, you know, get more than a yes or no answer. So that's okay, but it would have been fun. But yeah, I was on the news a lot, interviewed with a lot of people. It was really fun.
See, that's amazing. You should find time to post up an article or you know, if you have archive footage, put it online, because I honestly, like, I know I'm not alone. Like, a lot of people are looking for footage. I know Thor, he started his own website, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, he and Robert are both contributors to the website. But he dropped out of the gaming scene for, like, years, like, at least 10 years, if not more. Later on, he returned to gaming, and from my understanding, that's when he got the world record for Tetris. I think he like has 999,999 points on Tetris. You can't actually get any more points.
Yeah, he's amazing. I was able to do that on the Game Boy Color on Tetris, is it DX or something?
Mm-hmm.
That was a long time ago though, and it's a little bit different because I think it's easier on the Game Boy because it slows it down when you move the pieces.
Right. So you can actually get a perfect score.
On the Game Boy, I did. Yes, I have a picture of it somewhere.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Hopefully on Sunday it'll be just as exciting. At least it'll be broadcast live, streamed on the internet. So are you going to be watching?
Yeah, I'll definitely watch it.
Amazing. All right. Well, thank you, Jeff. Are you by any chance, do you have a presence on the internet or?
I mean, I own the domain jeffhanson.com. There's not a whole lot there though. I'm not really a whole lot into social media, other than checking it. I'm a read-only user. Okay. Unfortunately,
Well, thank you so much, Jeff Hansen, the Nintendo World Champion of the 11 under category from the original Nintendo World Championships back in 1990. This is the N-Express podcast. We'll be right back.
Eric, what are we going to do? How are we going to explain this tournament to everybody?
That's the thing. We have to keep it a secret. It's the whole concept.
A secret? I mean, don't people need to know how the tournament's going to work?
Well, okay, maybe they need that. So we'll tell them that there are 8 games in the tournament and that it's going to span some old school games and some current games, but that is it.
We're going to at least tell them what games are in it, right?
No, Bill. That has to be a secret.
So no one is even going to know that the Nintendo World Championships of 2015 is going to be the first place that Splatoon has ever played in a tournament setting?
No.
Well, what about the host? Can't we announce the host? Oh, I got it. That's a secret, too.
Actually, not a secret at all. It's Kevin Pereira.
Oh, yeah. That guy's pretty funny. Okay. Anything else we need to announce?
Yeah.
What?
The players.